Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love!
It has been a while for a live Tech Talk, but remember, Tech Talk is available at the website, WCCRadio.com. We've done too many shows to mention over the years, and you can find those shows at WCCRadio.com. Just search WCCO Tech Talk, and you'll find a lot of great podcasts there. Doug, good to visit with you on this sunny day in May. I hope you're doing well.
Yes, and what gorgeous weather we're having. I tell you, I like it when it's a little cool like this. It's a little windy, but what a beautiful day. Just beautiful.
Bright blue skies. Yeah, it is breezy. It is dry. It looks like this week we might get a little rain. We certainly do need that. We'll keep our fingers crossed because we do need some rain. But we want to go to the phones right away. And by the way, if you want to visit with Doug between now and 4 o'clock, 651-461-9226. Our only live show of the month due to twin schedules, etc. 651-461-9226. Let's bring in Bonnie. Bonnie, you're on the air with Doug.
Great. Thank you. I am so glad you're here today, Doug, and Steve as well, of course. But I have a question for you about my laptop that gets pretty hot. It's an Asus ZenBook 14. I got it in 2021, so it's 5 years old. And it's run really well all these years. But lately, I can tell that, you know, I hear the fan on, and then when I touch underneath, and it's on a hard surface, I use a table. So
thank
goodness. Like on a cushion. Because I tried to read more to see if there's something else I could do, you know, to see if it would solve itself.
But, are you getting a lot of the are you getting a lot of throttling where it'll sound okay and then
nope.
Are you getting a lot of that?
Not that. It's pretty. The fan kicks in pretty soon when I have it on, and then it will keep running. And I just notice when I put my hand underneath that it's pretty warm and it's hot, and I'm just worried about it crashing. You know, and I don't
know what to do. I would say this. If you're comfortable taking off the back, and you can leave it plugged in, actually, and it's actually better if you do, but turn it off. If you leave it plugged in, your computer stays grounded, and you won't be able to harm it from your body static coming in. But if you're comfortable taking off the cover, you might have great success by just taking a vacuum cleaner and gently cleaning out the fan. I think that particular unit has two, one on each corner. And after you get it closed up, I would immediately go and download Privazer, Privazer.com. Download the free version and run it, and just let it do its thing. And it may take a while the first time, but I got a feeling that you've just got a lot of things running in the background. That's really the only thing that can create this kind of thing. Now, if this doesn't improve with these two things, I would have you just drop it off at my place so I can see if you needed a new fan. Probably cost you six or $8. Not much.
Okay.
Try that first, and if that doesn't work, well, take two aspirins and call me in the morning.
All right. Thanks for the call, Bonnie. That is a great call. And once again, keeping them clean. She mentioned, and we haven't talked about it in a long time. You know, you talk laptop and, you know, sitting it on a lap, or people set it on a pillow or whatever to get it at. That's really tough. And
well, that's bad news for a machine. Yeah, that's where they're pulling air in from the bottom. And we cut off that air, which they're already... It's always a trade-off with computers. We make them quiet. Well, the fans aren't running as fast. And, you know, there's software that'll make the fans run faster, but I like to keep them as stock as possible and keep them quiet. Years ago when we first started overclocking, we get these computers so loud it was like sitting next to a vacuum cleaner. It doesn't take you very long to go, this is nuts.
Yeah.
it's just no reason for it. And the Asus will actually... they're machines. They're kind of forerunners in technology, so they're thinner. They got smaller, faster. They were more aggressive with newer hardware. And this is actually a problem throughout the industry with laptops. And I think the only people that really got this thing right down pat, it, for cooling anyway, is Mac and Lenovo. That, and, well, HP Pro versions, the business line, them too. That, but Asus has been getting it on the chin pretty good the last year and a half. And I would just think that as long as she's had this, should be able to get this thing cleaned up and get another 5 years out of it.
Yeah, and you brought up Pervasor in this case. Pervazer. If you have a Windows machine, it's a must. You can get the free version. There is a pro version, and you can pay. But this keeps your machine clean and optimized, if you will. It's privacy tool, et cetera. But,
exactly.
But that's important in all of this. As you pointed out, there isn't a lot of extra junk running.
Right. Well, you know, the thing is I don't think people are really aware of how much can go on with an update. You know, you give these things, and they try to automate all this, but you know, who knows how many different combinations of configurations there are across the planet. And a lot of times, these updates will add software running in the background, which you don't see it, you don't hear it, you don't even know it's there. Yet it's taking up resources, and it's causing your computer to work its little heart out. Well, of course, then it's going to heat up and slow down at the same time. So it's a catch-22, actually. And if we can keep these things cool and running like a little popsicle, and now, and it could be, too, we need to put new thermal grease in between her heatsink and her processor. But I'd start with getting rid of the dirt out of the fan. Might be all clogged up with dust. She might do that vacuum thing and fire up and do Pervasor and run like a new machine. That's really what we're looking for.
And by the way, it is Tech Talk with Doug. And if you want to visit with Doug, you can call or text 651-461-9226. We have the weather coming up here shortly. Get you an update on that. When are we going to see rain? Well, we'll let you know about that. Here is a good one. I have a MacBook Pro that charges very slowly. I plug it in at night, and the next morning the charge indicator light is still orange. Doug, a couple of things I want to bring up and fire your way on this. Could it need a battery? It depends on how old that machine is, but it seems to me that's battery.
I think so, too. That would be the first thing to check. And depending on the age of the computer, batteries do not last forever. And we users, we have a tendency of abusing batteries with portables. And it's better if you can let them run down at least once a month. Run them down all the way until your machine actually shuts down by itself. Then leave it unplugged and charge it all the way and do it again a second time. If you do that once a month, it's supposed to keep your battery lively for more years. But this technology is so small and so tight, once a battery starts to degrade, it doesn't take very long for it, the chemistry inside, to just eat itself up. And if, on a MacBook Pro especially, these things are built tight. I've seen these batteries expand to the point to where it will take a display. And that's really, that's, I mean, people don't even have to have anything sitting on top of them. They can be closed and sitting on a dining room table, and all of a sudden, pop, the top pops up just a little bit, and they're, your whole display is gone. So that's something you really want to pay attention to. Sometimes you can actually feel where the touchpad is. You can feel the battery starting to expand. And if there's any of that going on, you got to address it right away.
Yeah, and it is doable to, and there are shops all over town that'll put a new battery. And I think that's a great point. With phones, we don't have that worry. You know, we may charge them up every night, and then they're in our pocket, in a purse, in a backpack all day.
They're continuously charging and discharging, though, where with the laptops, they might not discharge for 3 or 4 days. And then all of a sudden, we fire them up, work with them for 5 hours.
Or longer. If you think about it, some people use their laptop as their home computer, and they have it, you know, maybe on a TV tray, or they have it on a desk somewhere, and it's never unplugged. You know, even once a week, unplug it, and let it run, and you'll get a warning when it's ready to shut down. I think that is great practice with any of this equipment with batteries. You don't
and when you do shut
them,
it down, make absolutely certain that you're not shutting it down into a sleep mode or a standby mode. And that, when you first install Microsoft Windows, that's just standard. I hate that. When I shut my computer off, I want it off. I want it off all the way so the memory can drain, the CMOS memory, and it can just all settle down. Then fire it up, and you're rocking and rolling with a fresh one. This sleep or standby shutdown, it appears that your computer is starting up faster, and it is somewhat, but you will pay in the end. I guarantee it.
Yeah, I think it is good, and we brought this up one more before the break. Speaking of iPhones or Androids, portable devices, I think it's imperative to shut those all the way down. Shut them off once a week. Whether it's Saturday night or Sunday night. I know it's a tendency, it's a lifeline. People can't be away from their phone. But I don't think it's a bad idea to shut them all the way down and give them the night off.
Exactly. And if having your phone that close is that critical, buy a second one. Get a cheap one for the backup while the other one's down. Whatever. There's ways around this.
It shouldn't be. We were able to get by for a long, long time without these things.
We
should be able to get by for 6-8 hours with the phone shut off.
Oh, indeed. I remember we used to run around with pagers, and people were just, they would know that it might take you 2 or 3 hours to get to a phone to call them back.
Yeah.
Those days, do you remember that, Steve? Everybody had a pager hanging on their belt.
I never had a pager. I was never that important. Quick break. We'll come back. More Tech Talk with Doug. Here's the number, 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. When we come back, an iPhone running out of storage. We'll get into that with Doug in a moment. Here on News Talk, 830-WCCO.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Tech Talk. Doug Swinhart and Lindsey Brown is our producer. My name is Steve Thompson. Thanks so much for joining us. And by the way, if you want to join Tech Talk, you can call or text 651-461-9226. From our text line, this is a good one. My iPhone continues to run out of storage. I've removed apps, photos, etc. Seems like the operating system takes up more memory than I have available. And, Doug, I'm wondering how old of iPhone this is. That's typically how they act when you got an older one near the end of life.
Yep. Well, and you know, Apple's there to make money. And I think they're doing quite well on this extra storage. So a lot of people say, I'll just pay the extra $5 to expand my storage in iCloud. I will mention a couple of things that might help, but a lot of people will miss. First of all, you can offload unused apps. If you go to Settings, General, iPhone Storage, and select Offload App, it'll select the large and rarely used apps and give you a list that you can either remove or at least make a decision. Next, what people miss a lot is optimize your photo storage. Mm-hmm. Enable Optimize iPhone Storage and Settings Photos. It's right there. It's one swap. These photos that are being saved, a lot of them your camera was set to the highest resolution. They are like 5 to 6 times the size they need to be. The human eye can't see the difference. After Google or Apple or any of these cloud storage optimize your photos, they will be smaller file size, and you will not see the difference in when you view them. That's big. The next place you're going to go is you're going to go clear the cache in your Safari browser. This sucks up memory like there's absolutely no tomorrow. Storage is gone like just no time at all. But that's probably going to be, and then you want to set your cache to automatically delete after 30 days or 1 year or something. Probably 30 days. I got mine set to a month. The system data, formerly known as other, is consuming excessive data space also. You can try restarting your iPhone, clear your temporary files in your cache, and go from there. Now, if none of this is having an effect, and you've got a phone that's 5 years old, I'm trying to remember, 4 or 5 years ago, we were hit with this storage bug. And that's exactly what it was called. It was either other data or AKA state system data. It would create an extra folder, and every time that you deleted something, it would save it in that folder and not let you see it. That was nasty. But I think the first solutions that we laid out, Steve, that should take care of most of them. And really, it isn't that expensive to expand your storage. My advice would be you might want to take a look at Proton. Just buy an ultimate package. I think I paid $180 for 2 years, worth every penny. I got 500 gigs in the cloud. I've got mine set up to where I have to manually do this because Apple doesn't let it be automatic. But I just go and empty out my whole iCloud right up onto my Proton drive storage. And away I go. That's it. You're done. And it doesn't take long. Once you get started, go have dinner or something. Usually done in 10, 15 minutes. It depends on how much data you have and how fast your connection is. But it's really a quick thing. You could stay away from the storage demands if you wanted it that way. But again, Apple's not that expensive. I think Nancy's got something at our place called a family storage. I don't know how much she got, but it was pretty substantial. And I told her, if you want to get it. But there's it's going to create more problems with your phone down the road if you don't get it. You're going to notice your phone starts slowing down pretty soon, too. We don't want that to happen. So get on that and get it repaired. And I hope that helps.
Yeah, and just to note, the phones don't last forever. No. There's built-in obsolescence. At some point, you won't be able to update the operating system, then it's time. It's just the way it is.
Yep, no doubt. And I might even say that, you know, if you're looking at a new phone and you don't want to spend a lot of money, but you want a little privacy, you could go to Brax, B-R-A-X, .com, and they sell de-Googled phones. I mean, they're completely de-Googled. Now, there's no such thing as complete, perfect privacy and anonymity on the Internet anymore. It just doesn't exist. No. You can get close, and the closer you get, the better your equipment will run. But that would be another option, too, is to jump to a Linux phone. And they're becoming more and more prevalent. I think in the next 2 to 3 years, you're going to see a lot of Linux phones. And I hope that happens.
Yeah. All right. That is a good one. Lindsey Brown, our producer, this old question of you have something, photos, mm-hmm. documents, et cetera, in the cloud, and you want to bring it back for local storage.
Yeah,
right?
You know me. I'm a little bit more of a nervous Nelly when it comes to the big future, and I'm not really sure about the clouds, and as Doug goes, there's no such thing as privacy, and like, you know, I've paid for the extra storage because I can't live without 15 photos of the same sunset, but eventually I do want to have that live in an external hard drive that nobody can see it. Nobody's getting into it. But they make the process so tedious, Doug. Like, is there any way around, like, creating zip files for each individual photo? Like, how do you get it back down from the cloud and into a local storage system?
Well, it depends on what your cloud storage is. But most of them is you open up a browser, you log into your cloud storage, and there's going to be directions somewhere on download. With Google Drive, I believe it's on the main menu. If you're in the folder you want to get the files out of, and you just right-click on that folder, and it gives you a list of things that you can do with that. Yeah, don't underestimate right-click in these cloud storages, because that's the only other button they've got that they can bring up things that are invisible on the display. But I got to address something else here, Steve. You know, for years and years and years, we've always talked to people about redundancy to the third power. You want a full copy on your computer of working files. You want a dedicated hard drive. I say hard drive. I used to say USB drives. I don't think they're stable and consistent enough anymore where you want to think of them as saving data. Get yourself a nice external hard drive. Excuse me. They're dirt cheap. Seagate, Western Digital, whatever. It doesn't matter. I would say don't let it just take off and format and do a backup system that they've got on that deal. Do it manually. Open up two windows with the Windows Explorer. One window is your source window. One window is your is your target window. Go over to the source window, shade, right-click, select copy. Go over to the target, right-click inside that folder, select paste, and you're done. And I like you doing that manually, at least for a while, so you get a real good picture of where your data is going.
And you
now, once you've got that, accomplished.
Well, I just want to jump in. In that case, Lindsay should be able to do that in whatever cloud storage, you know, create, you know, the source and the target and be able to do that. And Lindsay, you were saying it's just cumbersome with zip files and all that fooling around instead of just to bring it over.
Well, I got some good news for her, too. That when Google Drive first got to where I would say, improved and optimized to the point where it was just wonderful, they had a desktop application for Windows, Mac, and Linux where you would actually have a direct connection and you would have a separate folder on your hard drive that you could actually dump files into that folder and it would upload it to the clouds automatically.
That's right.
And vice versa. And Proton right now has gotten so many requests for this. They're working on that as an upgrade to their storage, no charge. I don't know if we'll ever get Google to bring it back or not. I would like to see it come back. They thought that it was a security risk, and it probably was. Nonetheless, I think if one company does it, if Proton is successful with it, and they will make sure it's secure and safe, I think that's really the answer. That simplifies everything for everybody. I really want to see that. But remember now, your data is the most important thing about your computer. We can buy new hardware. We can put in new operating systems. What I can't do is go back and take your pictures. I can't go back and redo your taxes. That's the important part right there. Redundancy to the third power, a working copy, a hard drive copy, and one cloud storage, and maybe even another copy you keep at a bank vault if it's that important. So you just... Storage space today is so cheap, there's no excuse why you don't have three or four copies. Am I right, Steve?
Yeah. Oh, it is. Just do a search wherever you buy, anywhere you go, Target, Walmart, Costco, Sam's Club, Micro Center, whatever, you can get really nice external storage.
Absolutely.
Very and affordable.
I'm surprised we haven't seen any Mother's Day sales for drives. That we did last year and the year before. We will. They'll be coming.
Quick break. We'll come back before we run out of time. Someone with CenturyLink DSL, an oldie but a goodie. We'll get into that. We had DSL for a long time, no more. We will get into internet. There are a lot of great options right now. This is kind of the golden age of internet service provider options for the home user. We'll get into all of that in a moment here on News Talk 830-WCCO.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back, and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Tech Talk, and by the way, the show always available online at WCCORadio.com. Just search WCCO Tech Talk, the number 651-461-9226. Someone here at CenturyLink DSL a couple weeks ago had an outage for 5 days, was without internet for 5 days. And the one thing about CenturyLink and DSL, we had it for a long, long time, had a lot of success. And then we had an outage, we had issues, etc. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, we signed up for a new fiber provider in the neighborhood, yep. Gateway Fiber, may not be nice in your community, but there are communities all over the Twin Cities area putting in fiber right now. And I'll tell you what, for $90 a month, it is screaming fast.
Yep. Everybody that's got Quantum Fiber in Invergrove is just ecstatic. I can't get it. They're about 2 blocks away from my house.
Someday.
This is a prime example where I think that person... the second day that they didn't have any internet, should have just signed right up for a T-Mobile account. Just that fast.
Well, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I will occasionally work from home. My daughter always works from home, so we so we have Gateway Fiber. We got T-Mobile 5G. This is 5G based cellular signals come to the home in a little appliance, and then create a Wi-Fi network. You can hardwire into it, or it creates a Wi-Fi network. And I know a lot of people. T-Mobile's got it. Verizon's got it. AT&T. You can do a search, but all the cellular providers are now creating these appliances based on their 5G network. It's pretty good, Doug. I'm pretty impressed.
Well, and you know, the thing is, Steve, is the internet is so important today that I really think that normal home users really should be thinking about a redundant connection. And at $50 a month, that's probably the way to go. I mean, and it is rock solid. I've actually connected to a couple of computers from mine. I got a gigabit feed from Xfinity, and they got the whatever it is, and it's just as fast as anything I've connected to. Well, that really tells a good story, because if I can be doing split tunnels and have it run like that, that's huge. I think they've got this right down pat, this wireless to the home thing. I really do.
And there is so much competition. You mentioned Xfinity. A lot of people in my neighborhood have either signed up for the Gateway Fiber or have Xfinity. Both are very happy. We also have the T-Mobile appliance. As a backup. We don't have the full-blown plan, but it's a backup plan where you get
some
amount of bandwidth every month, and it's even less than the $50 a month. But there's also...
You're paying for usage. I like that, too.
Then there's Starlink. Now, not everybody is a fan of Elon Musk and Starlink. I get it, but it is a very good option, even here in the metro area. People that have Starlink are also very thrilled with how that operates, and that's low-level satellite-based.
Yeah, and the thing is they've got now, apparently their dishes, you can't get snow to stick to them. They're getting better and better at this, Steve. I'm really impressed with Starlink. That's another one that's a little bit more expensive, but it's rock-solid stable. Well, and the nice thing is it's just, you take this little dish out to your yard, you don't have to crawl on a roof. You can stick it in the ground if you can get past trees, and just it'll help you point it with your smartphone, so there's really nothing to setting them up anymore.
Well, and the monthly service fee is dropped, and the upfront equipment is dropped. So
they've been giving that away from time to time. Watch the sales. Just watch the sales, and you'll get something, and you'll get free equipment. And now if you don't keep it for, I think it's a year, then when you return the equipment, you'd have to pay some percentage. I can't recall what it is. And they keep changing it, too. You got to go on site, starlink.com, and just check it out.
Yeah, and this texter went on to say, well, I don't want to use my cell phone as a hotspot, and I can't. But the concept is similar if you're using the product from T-Mobile or Verizon or AT&T, if it's available in your neighborhood. It's similar to a cell phone hotspot. And I would say this is the size of a coffee pot, this appliance. You plug it into the wall, and you got to place it near a window or on a shelf somewhere. It just kind of depends. But once you find a sweet spot, it creates pretty solid Wi-Fi network throughout your house. And if
I'm
you
really
set
glad
it up
you brought that up. Yeah. I think a lot of people are confused about T-Mobile. I think they have to use their phone.
No.
And that's not the case. You get another little piece of, I guess I'd call it a Wi-Fi antenna of some type, because you're picking up a cell towers. But it's like, it's really good. I'm really impressed.
Yeah, and they advertise it all the time. And if you're in a spot where you're not happy with your current internet service provider, it is worth a try, and they will let you. And once again, T-Mobile's not the only player. I know AT&T is in this space. Depending on who you have your cell phone plan with, you could get a really good deal on this, where they will send you the appliance for free. Yeah. And the setup is super easy.
Well, see, once T-Mobile stepped outside the door and they said, this is what we're going to do, everybody else had to fall in line. And I will tell you this, too. The quality of the airless or the wireless for AT&T, I've seen that recently. That runs great. Never used to run this good. And Verizon, everybody has said, if you're in a Verizon area, runs just top shelf if you're, like, outside of the metro area. I think that you can get really good Wi-Fi everywhere. But T-Mobile, after they bought out AT&T, I think this gave them a whole bunch of extra coverage. And I think that's part of their success.
Yeah, there's a lot of change and a lot of competition. Research it a little bit. Number one, you need to plug in your address and see if it's available in your neighborhood, but it continues to expand across the metro.
I would be surprised if you live in the metro area that it wasn't. I really would.
It is.
They got really good coverage in the Twin Cities. Any place there's population, well, that's wherever they had AT&T, you got T-Mobile Plus. So that's really a good thing.
And by the way, if you want to catch our program, either today's show or any of our programs in podcast form, you can go to WCCORadio.com. And this is our only live show of the month due to the twin schedule, etc. Mm-hmm. But we will be back in June, so we invite you to go online and check out the shows. Doug, before we run out of time, how do people reach you? Your phone number and email.
Thank you. 651-552-9543 and admin@wccotech.com. ADMIN WCCOTECH.com. 651-552-9543. And thank you so much, Steve Wolf. See you soon.
Yeah, Doug, always great. Once again, Doug Swinhart joining us here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And, of course, Tech Talk typically on Saturdays, sports schedules permitting between 3 and 4. We still have a lot coming up before the Twins and the Guardians at 4:30 today. We have the news and weather at 4 o'clock. And then we'll go outdoors. Steve Carney, fishing opener today, windy across the state. How are the anglers doing out on the waterways? We'll get an update from Steve on that. And then Jez Myers from the Pioneer Press, he covers the Wild. Huge game 3 tonight with the Colorado Avalanche. The Avs up 2-0. The Wild need a win at home. Will Joel Eriksson Ek play? Who's going to be in net tonight? We'll get into all of that. And then, of course, the Twins and the Guardians coming your way at 4:30 today with the lineup card. 61 now, still breezy. It'll be chilly, low tonight, 41. Tomorrow, sunny, 61. Should be a great day for Mom. Even warmer on Monday.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us, listen to the Powers That Be, wherever you get your podcasts.